commandments one at a time, as they have been the foundation of laws in the Western world for 3,000 years. So it's good that we know what they are. So we'll have a quick review. How many of the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament? Raise your hand if you know the answer to that question. Anybody? Howard? Nine of the ten. What number is not repeated in the New Testament, and which one is it? Anybody know? Brent?
The fourth commandment, which is the Sabbath.
Exactly. And the reason, as we saw, is that the Sabbath was a sign between God and his people Israel. So we don't go to church on Sunday because the Catholics told us to. Amen? We go to church on Sunday because it's the first day of the week, and that's the day that Jesus came back from the dead. All right, so the first commandment,
know the gods.
If you raise, if you know the second one, raise your hand. Anybody? Come on. Second commandment, Jackie.
No graven image.
No graven image. Third? Raise your hand. Come on. Howard? Lord's name in vain. So those three are commandments between us and our Creator. Amen? Then the fourth one is the sign between God and Israel. And then 5 through 10 are commandments that deal with our association with each other here on earth. So the fifth commandment is the first commandment and only commandment with promise, as it's defined. And that one is? Brent?
Honor thy parents, honor thy father and
mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. Then number six? Jackie? Thou shalt not kill. Number seven, which was last week. Pippa? Thou shalt not commit adultery. And tonight, number eight, verse 15, thou shalt not steal. So another sermon on four words, which you know is not me, but sometimes this is how it works. Thou shalt not steal. That's our title. Let's pray. Lord, please use your word to teach and speak to our hearts tonight. We are so grateful we have your word. It is so beautiful that you've preserved it for us, Lord, and that when you write something down, it's written perfectly, exactly as we need it. I pray you teach us and grow us through your word tonight. We love you in Christ's name. Amen. So this would be the only one up to this point. Remember, the first seven that we've talked about all carried the death penalty in Old Testament law. This one did not carry the death penalty unless, look over in chapter 21, verse 16, unless you chose to steal a person, which we refer to as kidnapping. 21:16, and he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. So if you stole a person, you would still face the death penalty, but for stealing property, you would be punished, but not with death. So this is the first one that we've come across that did not carry the death penalty directly. Thou shalt not steal. So we get to the end of the New Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3. Let's turn there. God is rebuking Israel, primarily the priests, but the nation as a whole. And he says to Israel that they are robbing God. Now remember, they've been commanded not to steal. They know this is one of the commandments. They know how important it is that they obey the commandments. And yet God says to Israel, you've been robbing me. So imagine their reaction when God, through his prophet Malachi, says here in chapter 3, verse 8 of Malachi, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. So many people want to try to undo the tithe from the New Testament, and that's a whole separate discussion. But if you go to Hebrews 7, you'll find that the tithing was around long before the law was given. Irrelevant to that, it says tithes and offerings. Amen? In other words, we're obligated to give God back a portion of what he's given to us. So he says in verse 9, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So here God is saying to Israel, your entire nation has robbed me, which is stealing. Verse 10, the solution, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. So here he's giving us another promise attached with the command to give, that he will in turn give. And that we see that in the New Testament, don't we? Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. So not giving is robbing God. And we get to the New Testament. Are we commanded to give in the New Testament? Absolutely. All through the Scriptures, but 1 Corinthians 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Acts chapter 20, many places in the New Testament, we are commanded to give. You can argue all day long that it shouldn't be 10%, and if it's not, fine. But we're in the age of grace, and God said grace much more abounds, which means we should be giving more than 10%. That usually shuts people down when they want to argue about the tithe, by the way. Anyway, go to Psalm 29, verse 2, and we find that there are other ways that we can rob God. This is one that we might not think about, but is the Lord worthy of glory? Well, all through the Scriptures are told that he is, amen? And that we have no place as man to ever try to steal away or rob the glory of God. And yet here in Psalm 29, verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. God is due glory constantly from us. We get to the New Testament. What are we told? Therefore, glorify God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. In your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're here to glorify God. He is due all the glory that we can give. So we can rob God of the glory when we try to take some upon ourselves, when we try to give some to other men or women, which isn't allowed. I mean, what happened to Herod in the book of Acts? Why did God kill him? It says, because he gave not God the glory. Right? Acts chapter 12. And he died instantly and was eaten of worms. That was a pretty heavy-duty punishment, wasn't it? So anyway, we get to the New Testament. This command is repeated, Romans chapter 13. Let's turn there. Romans 13, verse 9. Lists these commandments between man. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. So there are the last five of the Ten Commandments repeated for us in Romans 13. And then it's also in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's turn there, verse 28. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. So it is a sin for a follower of God's word to steal. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more. So if someone was a thief and they get saved, God says it's time to stop stealing, but rather let him labor. Stop stealing and start working. Amen. If you were a thief, you got saved, God wants you to get a job. Working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth, so that he will now have to pass on. In other words, he wants thieves to not only work, but he wants them to learn how wonderful it is to be able to give rather than take, which is what we're commanded to do as Christians. And then 1 Peter 4:15, another verse that makes it very clear that we are never to steal. 1 Peter 4:15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. I've always found this verse fascinating. You know, because man likes to rate sin, doesn't he? Say this sin's worse than this sin. But here we have in one verse, God putting murder and being a busybody in the same verse. And many Christians have participated in being a busybody. They might not have been murderers, but they've been busybodies. So I'm not saying that's you personally. I'm just saying over the years that happens. So, Satan is a thief. Did you know that? Jesus says so. Let's go to John 10 and we'll see this. Jesus himself referring to his creation, the anointed cherub that covereth. Remember, we studied him at family camp. He says, John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So the devil doesn't typically come and steal our physical possessions, does he? But he's a thief, so what does he steal? Well, Jesus gave us an example in Mark 4, verse 15. We'll turn there. The devil's not interested in our physical possessions, by the way. He could care less about those things. As we saw at family camp, the devil's in a spiritual battle, not a physical battle with us. Mark 4:15, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So one of the things that the devil steals as a thief is the word of God. When it's being planted in the heart of a lost person, the Holy Spirit is speaking to that person, the thief is there too. And sometimes he takes it away. He steals the gospel out of hearts. It's the worst thief there could be, isn't there? Because that's spiritual. That's the destiny of a person's soul. And those are the things that the devil's interested in, as we studied at camp. So God commands us not to steal. Remember, we are stewards. Amen? We are told to be worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. We've studied this. We have three primary vocations as Christians. One of them is to be a steward. Another one we saw is to be a soldier, and another one is to be a servant. But as a steward, what that teaches us is that we own nothing. We think we own our house. We think we own our car. We think we own our children. But as Christians, we don't own any of those things. God owns them all. Children are even referred to as inheritance of the Lord in Psalm 127, verse 3. We're just stewards. That includes every physical possession that we have. It includes any money that we might have. We're just stewards. So as good stewards, what is our primary responsibility? But to properly manage what God has entrusted to us. Amen? And we read about that over in Luke, if you want to turn there, verse 16 and 17, both address stewardship. Oh, I don't want to read the whole passage, but verse 2, he called unto him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy what? Stewardship. Now, Jesus wasn't telling this parable for the lost, was he? The lost aren't stewards of God's gifts, but we are. And in this account, this steward had to give account of his stewardship. And you and I will one day give account, not for our sins, because they're paid for by the blood of Jesus through Calvary, but we will give account of our stewardship. But as stewards, we have to be responsible, don't we? Since God owns our time, can we steal it from Him? Yes, because it's His, you see. And since God owns our physical possessions and our finances, can we steal from Him? Yes. If we don't treat them as His, if we treat them as our own and do what we want with them instead of seeking out God's will for those things. So this stealing can go further, can't it, than just taking something from your neighbor. We can steal from God. And let's remember that. So in 1 Corinthians 5, God uses another word, and that word is extortioner. Has there ever been a time since the time of Jesus when Christians have extorted Christians? Very sadly, yes. 1 Corinthians 5:10, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I've written unto you not to keep company If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunker, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. This whole chapter is about separating from those who are publicly marring the name of Jesus Christ, marring his testimony, marring the name of the church. And God says not to eat with them if they are an extortioner. So we, as God's children and as God's stewards, should take this command very seriously. Thou shalt not steal. When we borrow something from somebody and don't return it, I know I'll step on a few toes now. We've technically stolen it from them, haven't we? And trust me, I've done it too, especially books. But when we slander someone's good name with untruths, we've stolen their reputation, haven't we? And when we sign our time card at work and say we worked 8 hours, but we really didn't. We only worked 7. We just stole an hour from our employer. Say, oh, those are little things. Do you think God keeps track of little things? I do. I think he keeps track of all of it. And I think many Christians steal without thinking about it, and then they wonder, why isn't God answering my prayers? Maybe the Holy Spirit's convicting you about some things that you need to deal with. And we all know this happens, especially at work, doesn't it? Oh, it doesn't matter if I take a handful of pens home. My boss can afford it. We just stole from our employer. So we need to think about these things that God keeps track. We're just stewards. We own nothing. Oh, I'll throw this little one in here too for the new generation. When we download a pirated movie, that's stealing. It's illegal, by the way. It's still illegal. Do you ever wonder why they always have that warning at the front of movies, that FBI warning, and everybody says, ah, forget that. Yeah, I can't believe how much that goes on among Christians. They think, oh, it's okay. It's easy. You just hit a couple buttons and Google it, and you can download a movie and watch it without having to pay for it. You just broke the law. You just stole intellectual property from the creators of that movie. That used to be a music thing, too. You could download music illegally, but now with streaming services, it's not as prevalent as it used to be. But it used to be if you downloaded an MP3 illegally and didn't pay for it, you just stole intellectual property. Some of you older people are looking like, what is he talking about? If you don't know, you probably didn't do it, so you're safe. But the younger people know what I'm talking about, don't they? Does God keep track? Does God know if we steal intellectual property? He does. So you see, it can go on beyond just walking next door and stealing something from your neighbor, can't it? God put this in here because it is important to him. So important that of all the things he could have referred to there of the devil, he basically just, in that passage, just called him a thief and a murderer. So we have to be careful that we, as God's children, never steal anything from man or God or our employer. And if we have, what do we need to do? Well, we need to repent, like we talked about this morning, get right with God. And if restitution is needed, take some time to read through the Old Testament about all the restitution that had to take place when a thief got caught. They would have to give back often double of what they stole. Because God believes in restitution, by the way. And so we need to make it right with God and man, however we can. But if we've stolen, the Holy Spirit knows, and maybe he has been quietly saying something and we've not been listening. But thou shalt not steal. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. The beauty and yet simplicity of these commandments is amazing. Lord, when we start understanding the spiritual implications, I pray Lord, if you've spoken to hearts tonight about anything regarding stealing as stewards of you, regarding stealing here on earth, I pray that, Lord, you would convict and that things would be made right with you and with others if needed. Lord, that we might go on and serve you faithfully and, Lord, without these hindrances in our Christian walk. Thank you. We love you in Christ.